for the Chicago Cubs. The suffering is finally over. They beat the Cleveland Indians in dramatic fashion last night to claim their first World Series title in more than 100 years. So how did they pull it off? Many are heaping praise on Theo Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operations. His reputation as a so-called curse reverser is only growing now. He's credited with delivering a title to the similarly jinxed Boston Red Sox back in 2004. For more on Epstein's methods, we're now joined by David Leonhardt of the New York Times. He writes about politics normally, but he's an avid baseball fan and a serious number cruncher. David, good morning.
Good morning, and it's a bleary morning for all of us who stayed up to watch that great game.
I'm sure it is, right before midnight here on the East Coast, right? Epstein's success with the Red Sox was something called, the success there was called sabermetrics. First, you're going to have to explain that to me a little bit. This uses statistical analysis to predict how well a player will perform. Did he use the same approach with the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, so we've seen a kind of revolution in a whole number of fields. We've seen it in politics. President Obama's campaign did it. We've seen it in sports, where a bunch of people come in and they say, you know what, a lot of our gut instincts, a lot of the things we thought we knew may not be right. And let's actually accumulate as many facts as we can, also known as data, and figure out what's actually right. And so that's happened in sports. The most famous version of this before Theo was Moneyball, right? Michael Lewis's wonderful book about how the Oakland A's won despite having a low payroll. And now it's sort of the norm with both the Indians, who are run by, among other people, Chris Antonetti, who's also very data savvy, and the Cubs and a lot of other teams. Teams are saying, look, we don't want to just trust our gut and our eyes. We want to figure out what actually works. And part of what made this so exciting was both of these teams are aggressive users of what I would simply say is information. But as you say, it's certainly data and statistics heavy.
Yeah, tell us specific examples of how the data and the numbers made the Cubs a better team.
So there are a couple things. I mean, if you have been watching baseball for a long time, one of the most obvious are these fielding shifts. It used to be that on almost every play, all the fielders were in roughly the same position from play to play. But that doesn't actually make a lot of sense when you realize that each batter is very different, and some of them are much more likely to hit the ball to a spot where fielders aren't. So if you study enough video and look at enough data, you can say, oh, wow, this batter is much, much more likely to hit it into the spot between where we normally play the second baseman and the right fielder. So we're going to move the second baseman back there, and we're going to move the shortstop over close to where second is. And these shifts are aggressively used by a lot of teams. In some ways, actually, the Cubs are not even one of the most aggressive of them. I think they think some of that has gone too far. But they're certainly more aggressive than baseball was in the past.
And what about
my favorite? Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, what about the Indians' approach to it?
Very similar. I mean, my favorite thing that we saw in this World Series was the bullpen. The bullpen might be the source of the biggest remaining inefficiencies that we know about in baseball. Teams do this really silly thing in which someone 40 years ago, a sports writer, invented something called the save, where we give a relief pitcher a special statistic if he comes in and finishes the game. And baseball teams have allowed themselves to decide when to use their relievers based on this statistic. And that doesn't make any sense. You should instead use your best relievers at the most important parts of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's what we saw the Indians do. They brought in Andrew Miller, who's a really phenomenal reliever, former Yankee. They brought him in whenever it was important. And sometimes the game's going to be decided in the seventh inning, and sometimes by the time you get to the ninth, you have a 3-1 lead, and 3-run lead in the bottom of the order is coming up. And so both of these teams were very aggressive about that. Part of what was interesting about last night was that it came back to bite them a little bit because they'd used their best relievers so much that by Game 7 of the World Series, they were tired. But overall, it worked.
So look to the future a bit. How do you see the game of baseball changing or evolving as the data plays a bigger role here?
You still have teams that poo-poo data. And look, data is still in some ways not cool. It's why even the teams that are very aggressive about data, like the Cubs, always emphasize that they don't put too much importance on the data. You hear Theo Epstein saying that all the time. You hear the Indians folks saying that all the time. Part of that is true. They also follow what their eyes tell them. They listen a lot to their scouts. But part of it is they know that people don't actually want to hear that data is driving everything. There are still teams that say data is bunk, but most of them don't do very well. So the Arizona Diamondbacks poo-pooed data, and they've been bad, and now they're having a lot of turnover. So I think you're seeing pretty wide acceptance of it. The next things are things that we don't actually know how to gather data on. It's stuff like injuries. It's stuff like when pitchers start to lose their effectiveness. And so those kinds of things to really make progress, we're going to need new kinds of information and data. But I don't see any stopping of this idea that knowledge will make baseball teams better.
Okay, David Lienhardt of the New York Times, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.